Good evening. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Tonight we're going to begin our study in the book of Philippians. We're going to talk about a wonderful subject. The subject has to do with our giving. I believe our giving is an act of worship, and this morning we want to talk a little bit about what it means to give, and we want to do so by turning to the book of Philippians to begin our lesson this evening. It's certainly good to see every one of you this evening. You are such a great encouragement to me. I just don't say that lightly. I appreciate everyone that is here. I love you so much. I'm grateful for your faith and your faithfulness that you show me, and it's such an encouragement to me as a gospel preacher. Tonight, as I said, we're going to begin by mentioning a few passages from the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I want you to notice how the Apostle Paul begins this great book. And we'll pick up in verse number 3 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." As you think about this small congregation, we see that the congregation of Philippi was dear to the Apostle Paul. Paul was close with this congregation. This congregation, as we know, supported him as he preached the gospel. And we're actually going to see that in a very beautiful way in verse number 5. And Paul never lost sight of that. Paul is mindful of the sacrifices they made on his behalf. In fact, Paul says in verse number 5, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul was mindful of their fellowship in the gospel. What is Paul specifically talking about? "I'm mindful of our fellowship in the gospel." I believe the Apostle Paul here in this verse is talking about the support, the financial support that these good brethren provided the Apostle Paul as he was on his various missionary journeys, as he preached the gospel. He was supported by these good brethren. In writing to the congregation at Corinth, Paul is going to make this statement, how he robbed other churches to do them a service. And Paul is simply stating how other congregations supported him, like the congregation at Philippi, as he preached the gospel at Corinth in various places. And he encourages the brethren at Corinth to be liberal in their giving. We'll see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In fact, if you would, hold your place here in the book of Philippians, because we're going to come back and go to chapter 4 here in just a few minutes. But I want to mention something from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll be spending some time here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 in our lesson, because you know these two chapters have a lot to say about this subject that we're talking about tonight as it centers around our giving. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse number 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit to make known of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Now notice what Paul is doing here in this context. Paul is writing the Corinthians, encouraging the Corinthians to give like they should. You're going to see that later on in chapter 8, verses 11 through verse 14. And so what Paul is going to do is he is going to look at the brethren at Macedonia and how the churches of Macedonia helped him in preaching the gospel. The congregation at Philippi was one of those congregations of Macedonia. In fact, when you go to Acts chapter 16, we see that the city of Philippi was one of the main cities of Macedonia. And in fact, there were several congregations of Macedonia. There was the congregation at Philippi. There was the congregation of Thessalonica. There was the congregation of Berea. Remember, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. These are the congregations that made up the congregations or the churches of Macedonia. So don't miss that. In chapter 8, verse number 1, Paul is addressing the churches of Macedonia. The congregation at Philippi was one of those congregations. And Paul commends them for their liberal giving. And Paul again describes it in a very beautiful way as he writes these good brethren at Philippi. In chapter 1, Paul says, I'm mindful of you. I'm praying for you. I remember you. And I'm thankful for the fellowship that we have in the gospel. This was Paul's way of thanking them for the funds, for their liberal giving toward supporting him in the ministry. Now, as you stop and think about this, sometimes people have a hard time talking about the subject of money in worship services. Well, the preacher is wanting a raise. The preacher wants us to give more money. Well, as you go back and you study the subject of giving, you see it during the patriarchal dispensation with Abraham. You see it during the Mosaic dispensation. In fact, there's a lot that we can learn about giving when you study the Mosaic dispensation. This morning in our Bible class, we were talking about the Levites and the priests and how they would carry out various tasks at the temple in Psalm chapter 84, and how the psalmist was using that, wishing that he was like the priests and the Levites or the sons of Korah that would be able to be in the presence of God to be in the temple. Do you realize that the Levites didn't receive any of the land promise? They were given certain cities, but no land was given to them. And as you study the Old Testament and that system, we see that the people in the Old Testament would tithe. They would give a tithe of everything that they had, and part of that tithe would go to the priests and the Levites to support them in doing the Lord's work. And we see, as we turn to the New Testament, that God wants us to give upon the first day of the week to do His work, to support gospel preachers. Supporting gospel preachers is a biblical thing. You can see this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul commends the brethren there at Corinth for supporting gospel preachers. But here in the book of Philippians, Paul is mindful of these good brethren, and he describes it as fellowship. You see, when you are supporting the gospel with your sacrificial giving, you have fellowship in that sense, fellowship in the gospel. Somebody might look at verse number 5 and may ask the question, Clay, how do you know that Paul is talking about the support that he was receiving from these good brethren? Well, let me invite you over to the end of this epistle in chapter 4. And I think it's interesting, Paul ends the same way he begins. And if you've ever been supported doing the Lord's work financially, maybe by individuals, maybe collectively as a congregation, you're always mindful of those good brethren, of those faithful congregations that help support you. those who are preaching the gospel are doing so. That's their livelihood. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is just a great cross-reference. Those who live according to the gospel, who preach the gospel, should be supported by good brethren, by congregations. I know the students that attend Southwest for 2 years. They're not allowed to work outside, to do secular work, because they are there full time as students. They're there for 8 hours, and they have so much work to do in the afternoons that it demands all of their time. And so when a student goes through Southwest, they are supported by brethren. They are supported by congregation, so they can be there and so they can immerse themselves in a study of God's Word. And as you see on our bulletin board, those students, they send out support letters every month thanking the congregations for the support that they're receiving. This congregation supports two students that are learning the gospel, and we shouldn't take that lightly. In other words, when you look at those letters, when you look at Brother Lopez and you read Brother Alex's support letter, and as they're thanking us for the support that they're receiving as they're learning to preach the gospel, you think about what Paul says. In supporting those brethren, we have fellowship in the gospel. I love how Paul describes this, how he talks about this. He talks about, again, the fellowship. Now notice what he does at the end of this epistle in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, he says earlier in chapter 4, he talks about learning to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Paul realized that it was difficult at times. Making a living as a gospel preacher at this time was very, very difficult. It was hard, and Paul talks about this. And Paul says, verse number 13, you see his focus in all this, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did, listen to the wording here, you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, remember, that's Acts chapter 16, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Do you see what Paul is doing? You're the only congregation that was supporting me as I was preaching the gospel to others. You know the indebtedness Paul must have felt toward these brethren. And Paul, again, loved these brethren. As we pointed out, Paul was close to these brethren. Paul says, I'm always thankful. I'm always mindful of you in my prayers. Paul thanked God for these good brethren that were taking care of him as he preached the gospel. Look at what he says in verse number 16. And what you're seeing here is Paul spends quite a bit of time. You look at how long this epistle is. He talks about their giving in chapter 1. He talks about their giving in chapter 4. You think about how short this epistle is, how many verses this epistle accounts for. Paul spends quite a bit of time commending them, thanking them for the support they provided him. Now listen to what he says in verse number 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity. Again, Paul is talking about how they supported him, how they provided for him when he was in Thessalonica. Not because, verse 17, I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. By verse number 17, the brethren at Philippi understood Acts 20, verse number 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, that really describes the brethren at Philippi. Here is a giving congregation. They understood the fellowship that they had in the gospel. They understood what Paul was doing as he was going around establishing congregations. The congregation at Philippi wanted Paul to know, listen, we've got your back. You focus on the gospel, Paul. We're going to support you in this. We're going to take care of you. They had fellowship in the gospel. But notice what Paul says about their giving, though, in verse number 17. He says, but I desire fruit that they that may abound, listen to it, to your account. And so as these good brethren were supporting the Apostle Paul, these brethren were bearing fruit unto God. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, verse 8? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. I love the subject of fruit bearing. And you see how it relates to Christianity. You can sum it up by saying, you know, we are to produce. That would include spiritual growth. That would include evangelism. As we're striving to win souls, sow in the seed, we are bearing fruit. Really bearing fruit unto God is bringing forth the product of right living. And any time we're bringing forth the product of right living, in other words, any time we're doing the right thing, we are bearing fruit unto God. Well, here's another example that maybe we sometimes don't think about. And it really relates to our giving. As we give of our means to support the gospel, we have fellowship in the gospel. But here in verse number 17, we're bearing fruit unto God that it may abound to your account. Another way of looking at it is as we give of our means to do the Lord's work, as we make sacrifices, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, we are making spiritual investments. We're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do you do that? Learn to invest in the spiritual things. Learn to sacrificially give. Learn to support the Lord's work financially. You'll have fellowship in the gospel. You'll bear fruit unto God. And you're laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. Listen, you make the best investments when you take that which is physical, when you take what God has given to you and you give it back to Him to do good works. God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. And when we have that kind of heart, that kind of attitude toward our giving, we see in the book of Philippians, it denotes fellowship in the gospel. It denotes bringing forth fruit unto God. It denotes laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Long ago, God told His people in the book of Malachi, He asked the question, can a man rob God? Do you realize long ago God's people were robbing Him in tithes? In other words, they were holding back. They were reaching into their pockets and giving God the leftovers. I hope as we think about our giving that that never describes us, that we are robbing God. We don't want to rob God. We want to sacrificially give of our means. And when we do that upon the first day of the week, the book of Philippians gives us a few things to think about. That is, when we give of our means upon the first day of the week to do the Lord's work, we're not wasting our money. We have fellowship in the gospel. We're bearing fruit unto God. We're laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. But look at verse number 18. Paul goes on, doesn't he? And he says, verse number 18, but I have all and abound. I am full because of you, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, still talking about their giving, their support to Paul that came through Epaphroditus. Now listen to how he describes it. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I don't know if you've ever thought about giving from the book of Philippians, but it is rich. Again, we have fellowship. When we give of our means, we have fellowship. We're bearing fruit unto God. We're laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Now here in verse number 18, when we give of our means out of a right heart, it is a beautiful fragrance that comes up before the nostrils of God. As Paul says, it is a sacrifice. That describes our giving. It is a sacrifice. And so when we give of our means every first day of the week, when we pass the basket around, think about it. It is a sacrifice that we are making. It is a spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. That is, if we have the right heart toward our giving. We're fixing to go there. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But as we begin to talk about giving tonight, I wanted to spend a little bit of time in the book of Philippians because Paul has so much to say about this subject that will change our thinking, our frame of mind when we give of our means. And I believe we need to think about this more. Because if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves just writing that check, folding it, or opening our billfold, pulling out a few bills. The basket comes around, we put it in there, but we never think about what we are doing. Well, this is true with every act or avenue of worship. We need to put some serious thought into what we're doing when we pray, when we sing, when we open the Word of God. But even when it comes to our giving, we don't want to rob God. We want to make a sacrifice. You stop and think about that, a sacrifice. There's a sense that when we give, trying to describe it in human terms, there should be a sense that when we give, it hurts a little bit. And what I mean is we might be giving what we feel like we might need, but we're going to give it for a good work, for a good purpose, to the glory of God. And we know that God will bless us, that God will take care of us. And when we do that, God says, listen, it's a sacrifice. It's a beautiful fragrance that is well-pleasing in my sight. Now let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. Notice a few things with me from the book of 2 Corinthians. By the way, a great cross-reference to Philippians 4 verse 18, if you're taking notes, would be Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And you can begin around verse 15, read down to verse number 18, and Paul says to do good and to communicate. Remember, that's the type of terminology Paul used to communicate, to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, there's the same terminology, God is well pleased. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9 really gives us some things to think about as it relates to spiritual giving. As I said, this is a subject that I feel that we need to talk about occasionally as a reminder that God's work needs to be supported. We're to buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23, verse number 23. It always has taken money to do the Lord's work. That's not a bad thing. You can do a lot of good with money when we give it to the Lord and as we do the Lord's work. Well, here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, it appears, as I said, from verses 11 and 14, really even going back to verse number 10, it appears that the church at Corinth was holding back a little bit. They had great plans in helping the congregation at Jerusalem that was suffering. They had great plans to help, but for some reason they were procrastinating. They were holding back, and Paul's writing them. Paul is encouraging them to perform. In fact, if you'll pick up in verse number 10, "And herein I give my advice for this expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Paul says, you've been thinking about this for some time. It's time to follow through with this. Verse 11, "Now therefore," listen to what he's saying, "perform." I like that word. God wants us to perform. He wants us to be active in His service, in His work. And there are different ways that we can do that. There are different parts that we can do in doing the Lord's work. This is just one of the things. We can give to support brethren. We can give to help those who are in need. Paul is saying, listen, I want you to perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. Listen to verse 14. There's got to be balance in all of this. But by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. What's Paul saying here? There's going to be times brethren won't have, and brethren will need. There may be times where you have an abundance. When you have an abundance, you are in a position to do a lot of good things, to help other brethren, to help others that are in need. And later on in time, things may be turned around. You may find yourself in need and another congregation receiving an abundance. This is the situation here with Corinth. You had the congregation, the church there at Jerusalem, that was suffering. They weren't receiving an abundance. They were depending upon other congregations financially for support to help them during these hard times. Congregation at Corinth was doing well, we might say. We could say that they were in a position to help. Now, as I said, they had a willing mind, but they haven't performed yet. Paul's inviting them to perform, to carry it out. I believe we can relate to something here at home. You know, Brother Chris isn't here tonight, but I appreciate Brother Chris so much and the work that he's involved in with Kenya, the reports that he gives. And one of the things that you've noticed that the brethren at Kenya have certain needs. You'll notice the pictures on the bulletin board that Chris put up there in a certain area in Kenya. They just built a new church building. Again, you notice the needs up there on the sheet, and this congregation has help meet those needs. I believe we see the same scenario here. We're in a position to be able to help those like at Kenya who are in great need. You see a lot of wisdom you see in God's system. And as you know as well as I do, there are a lot of needs. And you can't support every good work that is going on in the brotherhood, but you can certainly be a part of some good works. We can certainly have our hand in God's work like we're doing at Kenya. And that is a wonderful thing to do. And we ought to be thinking about that work scripturally speaking. Not only should we think about the work at Kenya, we think about the work here. We think about how this congregation has supported gospel preachers, how this congregation has supported preachers going through preaching school, that isn't a light thing. That is a wonderful thing in the eyes of God. And we've looked at things from the book of Philippians. We've looked at things from the book of 2 Corinthians that should motivate us and that should cause us to think about the sacrifices that we are making to the Lord. I wanted to quickly mention some things just from these two chapters, some points that I believe will help us. For example, when you read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4, our giving benefits us. Our giving benefits us. As I said, we have fellowship in the gospel. Our giving benefits us. We're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Our giving benefits us. It's a sacrifice that comes up before God. Again, our giving benefits us. Number two, as we think about our giving reflects the way that we feel about God. Our giving reflects the way that we feel about God. Two verses. Read verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's why I gave you the background to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul is encouraging these brethren to give of their means. They were in a position to give of their means. Paul is encouraging them to perform, and in doing that, verse number 8, they were proving their sincerity. They were showing God, they were showing their brethren how much they loved them. Look also at verse number 24. Verse number 24, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and are boasting on your behalf. You know, I appreciate this about the Apostle Paul. Without question, the congregation at Corinth struggled spiritually speaking. You read the book of 1 Corinthians, here's a congregation that had so many problems. But Paul kept working with that congregation. Paul kept encouraging them. And even when people are struggling, here's just a side note. Take note of this. Even when people are struggling, they need to be commended. A lot of times we spend more time correcting, but even when we are correcting, we have to also learn to commend. You know, that's a great principle when it comes to parenting that I forget about. I'll be the first to admit that. Many times as fathers, we know how to correct, but we also need to commend. And our children need to hear that. Brethren need to hear that. And that's what Paul is doing when he says, and of our boasting on your behalf. Paul didn't rag on these brethren. He didn't cut these brethren down. He didn't say anything that was derogatory toward them. No, he spoke well on their behalf. Paul was telling other brethren, I'm confident that the church at Corinth will come through on this. It might be that Paul was communicating with the congregation at Jerusalem, telling the congregation at Jerusalem that you will probably be receiving a gift from the congregation at Corinth to help you in your time of need. I believe it's implied here in verse number 24. Paul talked well of this congregation, but Paul also wants this congregation to know that, listen, when you give of your means, when you make a sacrifice, you show your sincerity. You prove, Paul said, circle it. You prove your love for God. You prove your love toward your brethren. Our giving benefits us. Our giving benefits the way that we feel about God, the way that we feel about our brethren. Here's another principle when it comes to giving that will motivate you to give more. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. There is a beautiful context in Proverbs chapter 11. I want you to read it sometime. I believe it begins at verse number 24. I call it the cycle of giving. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying from Proverbs chapter 24. In fact, Solomon makes this point, the liberal soul shall be made fat. I like that. I love that. Solomon is talking about giving. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and so shall thy barns what? Be filled. Now, our motivation behind our giving has to be right. If we give of our means thinking, well, you know what? I know God is going to bless me, and I know I'm going to make a whole lot more money because I just gave $10,000 to do the Lord's work. My business is going to be a success. Perhaps our motivation isn't right behind our giving. If our motivation is right behind our giving, whatever sacrifices we make, we will be blessed. You will see that cycle of giving. You see that in the words of Jesus. But listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7 and verse number 8. Really, let's begin at verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully, notice the principle, shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now watch verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Do you see the point? You're never going to outgive God. You sacrificially give with the right heart, God will bless you. God will take care of you. That's the promise that God is making in these verses. As you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we read beginning at verse number 6, you also see these characteristics. And these characteristics are highlighted in these verses. Our spiritual giving should be liberal. It should be according to our purpose. It should be characterized as cheerful giving. Not grudgingly, oh, I don't want to give it, but God's watching me. I really want to hold on to this dollar bill. I could buy me a nice rod and reel with this. God doesn't want us to give grudgingly. He wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to give, verse 7, with a cheerful heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, He wants us to give consistently upon every first day of the week. He wants our giving to be personal as we have prospered. There may be a time in your life where you don't have a whole lot coming in. God understands that. God knows that. That's why, again, He says, as you've prospered. He wants us to think about our giving. And I hope tonight, as we study God's Word, you can see that the giving is a wonderful thing. When we give of our means to do the Lord's work, we have fellowship in the gospel. It's a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When we give of our means like we should, with the right spirit, with the right heart, with the right attitude, again, we can do a lot of good work in the kingdom of God. And we lay up for ourselves a good foundation to come. Let me encourage you to learn to invest in the spiritual things as we go through this life. I know we're always encouraged to make good investments, to invest in this stock, to invest in that stock. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of principles in the book of Proverbs that teach us about having or practicing good stewardship, planning for the future. But you know, as you plan for the future, don't leave God out of your life. Don't leave God out of your plans. Because the best investments that you'll ever make are spiritual investments. Learn to invest, spiritually speaking, and you'll lay up for yourselves a good foundation to come. The lesson is yours. If we can help you tonight, spiritually speaking, won't you come right now as we stand?